The word of God for our meditation this morning is recorded in Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. So he got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you." And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." And he arose and departed to his house. Now when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, who had given such power to men. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, have you ever had an experience that left you speechless? Most of us have had experiences in which we were at a loss for words. Either the situation was so sorrowful that any expression of sympathy seemed inadequate, or so joyful that any words of joy seemed like an understatement. In one case, words seemed to lack comfort. In the other, words seemed to lack power. Today we see Jesus in a situation that would probably leave any of us at a loss for words. A man suffering from paralysis was brought before him on a bed. If you or I were in this situation, we would probably be overwhelmed by our inability to do anything to help the man. Jesus, however, was not at a loss for words. Looking at the man, he said, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." These are words of comfort, and these are words of power. Jesus was preaching in Capernaum, the headquarters for his Galilean ministry. And a large crowd was gathered in the house where he was preaching. And it was so large that the door was blocked by people. And this led friends of the man who was paralyzed to take some drastic measures. They went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. Imagine this scene. With a crowd all around Jesus, a man is lowered down through the ceiling on a mattress at Jesus' feet. And it is in this context that Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." Jesus saw that their faith was persistent, inventive, resourceful. Their faith, though, was not the cause of Jesus' forgiveness, as if they earned or deserved it. Jesus' forgiveness is a totally free gift. Faith is the empty hand that receives God's free gift of forgiveness. Now, if that man were brought to us, what do you think would catch our notice first? No doubt we would first notice his physical condition. Yet Jesus, the great physician of both body and soul, focuses on the man's inner condition. Jesus knows the greatest need of all people. We are afflicted by a deadly spiritual ailment, sin, that leads to physical, spiritual, and eternal death. Jesus knew that this man was not only souring over his physical condition, but his heart was saddened by a knowledge of his sin. So Jesus brings the suffering man words of comfort. First, he calls him son. And that is what we all are by faith. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Then Jesus says to the paralytic, "Be of good cheer. your sins are forgiven you. He bids the sufferer dismiss all gloom and depressing thoughts from his heart. So also in the liturgy, the words of absolution often begin with, "Lift up your hearts." What a comfort these words bring to us who are downhearted because of our sins. At times, sins from our past come to mind. Sins so great that they are difficult for us to put out of our minds. Perhaps we have hurt a loved one or betrayed someone's trust, ruined someone's reputation. Maybe we cheated someone out of money. And when we think of such sins, we are tempted to despair. Surely I've committed a sin too great for God to forgive. But the gospel is all-encompassing. God so loved the world. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and will not remember your sins. God's forgiveness doesn't just apply to some of our sins or certain kinds of sins, but to all of our sins for the sake of Jesus' once and for all sacrifice. Jesus' words, "Your sins are forgiven you," literally state in Greek that our sins have been dismissed, sent away from us, so far away and in such a manner that they shall never be found, not even on the day of judgment. These indeed are words of comfort. Yet there were some present there that day for whom Jesus' words, "Be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you," were not words of comfort. Instead, these scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." These experts in the law knew that God alone has the power to forgive sins. They knew that such words were words of power. Does any mere mortal really have the authority to say such words and have what they say really happen? They saw Jesus as a pretender, but even worse than a pretender, one who is committing the mortal crime of blasphemy, exercising authority that belongs to God alone. At this point, Jesus exercised his divine omniscience, the power of God to know all things. But Jesus, knowing their hearts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts?" There sat those scribes, imagining that their thoughts were securely hidden within their minds, and yet all their damning thoughts were laid out clearly before the eyes of Jesus. Jesus then presents them with a dilemma. Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven you or to say arise and walk? Both, of course, are utterly impossible for any mere human being. Both require divine power. Forgiveness requires the power of divine grace, which in turn required the giving of God's Son into death for us. The power to cure paralysis with a spoken word requires divine omnipotence, the power by which God is able to do all things. Jesus answers his own question, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," then he said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." And he arose and he departed to his own house. We see in our lesson two acts that were wrought by the word of Jesus. Both required the power of God. In the case of forgiving the man's sins, Jesus spoke, but the effect was altogether invisible. But when Jesus' word was spoken to heal the man, the effect was instantaneously visible. Jesus used this visible sign of healing to demonstrate his divine authority to forgive sins. So God has also given us not only the word, but also the sacraments. They are the visible word, visible signs of invisible grace, seals of God's promises to nourish and strengthen us in the faith. And it is through these sacraments instituted by Christ himself that the Holy Spirit works to bring us the comfort of the gospel. As the book of Acts tells us, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And in the Lord's Supper, we receive the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus, once given unto death for the remission of sins. How did that crowd in Capernaum react to Jesus' words of healing and forgiveness? Now, when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God who had given such power to men. Jesus had shown his divine power over all things, including nature. This same Jesus has given his church the power and command to declare the forgiveness of sins in his name and by his authority. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. The church exercises this power on earth to forgive sins publicly by calling pastors to proclaim the gospel on our behalf and in the name instead of Christ. And in our daily lives, at work, at school, or among friends, we as Christians also share God's forgiveness with others. We tell them about Jesus, the one who has saved them from their sin, and invite them to hear God's word with us. Until the last day, these words of comfort and power shall not cease among Christians. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Amen.